We want to continue some thoughts that we began last week. We said we were going to start a study of 1 Thessalonians, but we've kind of got sidetracked, and we're talking about the one who wrote the letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul. So we've started through a history of Paul and where he came from and who he was at the start and what he would become. And I think this might be beneficial to work our way up to the time where Paul came to the church at Thessalonica, and in his dealings with that church, and in the letter he wrote back to them. There's a lot that can be learned from the letter, but let's learn some things from the writer of the letter and from his life and his experiences. Now, last week we talked about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who would later be called Paul. How that Saul didn't look for Jesus, Jesus looked for Saul. Saul was, like all before Jesus comes to him, an enemy in his mind toward God. The natural man, the things of the spirit of foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be drawn to Jesus by God, he can't come. You will not come to me that you might have life, Jesus had said. So Jesus comes to Saul of Tarsus, it's not the other way around. And we learned last week that that's a pattern to all that believe. And we learned last week that it takes the same power to cause one to believe in Jesus Christ as it did to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Because you have to be given life before you can believe, and only God can give the life. So the same power that it takes to raise Jesus from the dead is the power it takes to cause one to believe. And this all is a pattern to all that believe. So that's kind of what we learned about the man Saul of Tarsus last week as we came through where he had been persecuting the church and killing Christians to where he bows to Jesus and now becomes a Christian himself. And then he came to Ananias, that preacher, and the preacher didn't give him life. The preacher gave him sight, and the preacher fed him. We learned those two things. Jesus gave him the life, and then the preacher gives him enlightenment to the gospel and feeds his hungry soul. So that was in Acts chapter 9. Let's continue in Acts chapter 9 this morning now and begin to cover some new ground. You see, Paul's been regenerated by Jesus Christ. He's been converted to the truth of the gospel by the preacher. And now he's a new man. And he had a lot of zeal against Christ, but that same zeal, that same drive that's in that man is now turned toward Jesus Christ instead of against Jesus Christ. That's what Christ can do to a fellow at the new birth. Makes him a new creature with new desires, new want-tos, new reasons to live, new purposes in life. Now Saul's a new creature, and he's got a new attitude. And he's got the same old drive, but he's driving him in different ways. The drive's coming from a different source and pushing him in a different direction. Let's begin reading in Acts 9 and 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. He could now see, and he'd been fed, and I think this is naturally and spiritually, he's strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. You see, he had come to Damascus to kill those disciples, and now he's alongside of them and with them. What he used to be against, he's now for. God has changed his want to and his desires and his way of thinking about things. God can do that. And only God can do that to a natural being. But God has changed this man. Christ has come into his heart, and he's a different character. So Saul was certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. And straightway, that is immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He'd been coming to those synagogues. His purpose had been to come to those synagogues, and if he found anybody of this way, he was going to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem so he could testify against them and have them executed. But now, immediately after this change that's come upon him and after the enlightenment that he has and being fed in his soul, he straightway preaches Jesus in those synagogues that he's the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed. I'll bet they were. I'll bet they were. And said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Isn't this the same man? Well, it is the same man, but it's not the same man. It's the same man on the outside, but it's not the same man on the inside. He came with the intent of destroying Christ. He now is very intent on preaching Christ. And they're all amazed. I'll tell you what, God can turn a sinner around in a heartbeat. In one motion of God, a man is changed. He becomes a new creature with a new attitude, a new nature, a new way of looking at life, a new way of looking at God, a new way of looking at self, a willingness now to bow before Jesus and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? and then to get up and go and do it. That's this guy, man. And they're amazed at that. I'll bet they were. Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength. Now, he was strengthened, and he preached, and they were amazed. But it says right here, he increased the more in strength. Where did this increase in strength come from? I think we've got to do a little sidetrack here. I think this is kind of hard to figure out. But if you'll search the scriptures, I think you can find what happened right here and what caused Saul of Tarsus to be increased more in strength. He was strengthened and he was preaching, but he would become a strong preacher. Increased the more in strength. Where would that happen? How would that happen? What's this talking about? I think that we can go to the book of Galatians chapter 1 and find where Saul of Tarsus, I believe it would probably be at this time in his life, that he received training in Arabia. Now, you may not have ever thought about this before. You might not have ever put these two passages together. I hope I'm going right with this. But let's look at something. It says in Acts 9:22 that at this point, Saul increased the more in strength. Galatians 1:11. Saul, Paul, at this point says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's strange language. He said, what I know about Jesus Christ and the extent of the knowledge that I have of Jesus Christ, you see, Paul knew things about Jesus that nobody had known from the foundation of the world. He revealed things in his writings, in his gospel, that were mysterious even to the angels. He would come and proclaim the truths in a way that had never been understood that way before, but it's the way it is. He says to them an explanation of how he has the gospel to preach that he has, that he didn't receive that of man. Neither received I it of man. Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's describing here a direct revelation of Jesus Christ whereby he would know things that had never been known before in this world. Preach things that had never been preached, but it wasn't something new, it's just something that's now revealed. It had always been this way, just no man knew about it. But now Paul knew about it, and he'd preach it, and then we could all know about it. This gospel that was preached by Paul, not received of man, but received directly by Jesus Christ and a revelation from Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading in Galatians, verse 13, chapter 1. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He goes back and starts talking about his own biography here, his own history, how that you remember how that I persecuted the church and wasted it. And I was obsessed with that. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. I was heading to the top. I was a very popular character. I was going somewhere with those Pharisees. I was heading straight to the top in their world. But you see, my world got turned upside down. And I got changed when I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But, there I was going straight away from God, persecuting the Christians and killing them. But, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, same God that gave me natural life, separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, the same God that gave me the natural life, He called me by His grace and gave me the spiritual life. You see, whether it's natural or spiritual, it's of God. Birth doesn't come by cooperation, it comes by God. Natural birth, children are a gift of God. Spiritual birth, that's a gift of God. Faith, that's a gift of God that comes with that new birth. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me. God separated me from my mother's womb, gave me natural life. God by His grace called me and gave me spiritual life. And He revealed His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen immediately. When He did this, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. What's that? He says above there, we read there, where he wasn't taught of men, and he didn't receive what he knew of man, but he received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he describes how God gave him natural life, and how God gave him spiritual life, and how God changed his life. He revealed Jesus to him. And Jesus revealed God to Saul, and Saul saw God through Jesus and saw that Jesus was God, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. That's the point of it all. He's going to be the preacher to the Gentiles. But in order to do that, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go to some seminary. I didn't go back to the apostles in Jerusalem. I didn't go to men to learn about this that would be that I would preach. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. That's a strange place to go to learn about Jesus Christ. But that's where he was sent. I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. I think here, by reading in between the lines, that we can see something special about Paul and how he got his training. Now, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and gave him his eternal life and regenerated him there, gave him the new birth. And then he comes to Ananias, and he is fed by Ananias, and he has some sight by Ananias, but all he has is what Ananias had. A preacher can't preach more than he knows. Ananias didn't know the whole story at that point. No preacher would preach it like Paul would preach it. Well, how did Paul learn to preach it like Paul preached it? Well, he didn't confer with man to do that. He didn't receive what he had received directly from man. He received it directly from Jesus Christ and revelation of Jesus Christ. And where he received it was in Arabia. He went to Arabia, and there he got a training course directly from Jesus Christ about how to preach Jesus Christ and what it was all about and the way the gospel works and salvation by grace and those wonderful things that Paul would outline in such books as Romans and Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians that we're going to try to get to and study, and all these great things that Paul preached. He learned them directly from Jesus, not even from the apostles who had been before him. Those apostles had a lot of understanding, but not in the straightforward way that Paul would be taught. So he didn't go up to Jerusalem. He went to Arabia. And then he returned again unto Damascus. I think we have that. I think that right there is where Paul increased the more in strength. Now, his strength in preaching was multiplied after that training course by Jesus. He immediately preached Jesus when the scales fell from his eyes, and he started talking about Jesus, and they were all amazed at that. Don't you reckon they's amazed after he went to Jesus' school and directly revealed by Jesus to this man the story of the gospel? He increased the more in strength, and he comes back. And he spends 3 years there with them at Damascus when he comes back before he goes to Jerusalem. He hadn't been to Jerusalem to learn from the apostles. And he learned some from Ananias, but not like he had learned directly from Jesus. So he comes back to Damascus after having been increased in strength, and he continues to serve Jesus there. Let's pick up where we left off. Now, we skipped over and went to Galatians. I don't want you to get confused here. We're coming back to Acts chapter 9. You see, in Acts chapter 9, we got to that part of that 22nd verse, but Saul increased the more in strength. Let's read the rest of that verse. And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Oh, he had amazed them before, but now he confounds them. Even those that are against Jesus, they can't argue with this man. They can't bring up a debate against Saul and win. You see, Saul can prove now that Jesus is the very Christ from the Scriptures. Saul's been to Jesus' school directly, and he's been revealed something by Jesus directly, and he comes back, and he is increased in strength. He is increased the more in strength, and at this point he can confound the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, and he can prove to them that this is the very Christ. Verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, here's where the 3 years that was spoken of in Galatians, after these many days were fulfilled. You see, in Galatians we found out that he returned to Damascus, and it was 3 years before he went up to Jerusalem. So back to Acts 9:23, after that many days were fulfilled, here's the 3 years from Galatians, the Jews took counsel to kill him. He's preached there for an extended time, a long time, many days. But those Jews have had it up to here with him, and they take counsel to kill him. And they're not going to put up with this teaching anymore. They're confounded by it. They can't argue against it. Paul proves his point every time, and they can't say it's not so, so they're just going to kill him. That's what Saul used to do, was kill folks. That's what they did to Jesus. Let's just kill him. So they're going to kill Saul. So they were laying in wait. But their laying in wait was known of Saul. They were hiding and going to get him. But Saul understood that. He knew that. He heard about it. He figured it out. Their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. They weren't going to let him escape. They were going to get him, and they were going to kill him. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Goes over the wall, lets him down in a basket, drops him to the ground outside the wall. They're watching the gates, but he goes over the wall and he escapes. He's as if he's a prisoner in Damascus, and as soon as they can corner him, they're going to get him, but he slips away in the middle of the night, and the disciples let him down in the dark of the night in a basket over the wall, and he's on the run. He used to be the chaser, now he's been being chased. That'll be the rest of his life. That'll be the rest of his life. And he moves from there on to Jerusalem. We read the next verse. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, this is after the 3 years, this is after the many days. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He tried to join the church there. He tried to join with the disciples there. That was his idea. I'll go to Jerusalem and I'll join with the believers in Christ there. I'll join with those there who are Christian. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. No wonder. And believe not that he was a disciple. I know what you're doing. You're a spy. You're coming in here. This is covert action, man. You're coming in here and going to slip in amongst us. Then you'll figure out who all we are, and then you'll come back and kill us all. We're afraid of you. We don't want you in our church. Oh, my friend, sometimes a real sinner, the church folks just don't much want him, but God can convert real sinners, the chief of sinners. And he's the pattern to all that believe, you remember. And the power that had raised Jesus from the grave had worked in this man, caused him to be a new man, giving him spiritual life where he had been dead in his trespasses and sins. But they don't understand that. They don't know that. They hadn't hardly seen all that yet. What they think about him is we're afraid of him. He used to be the killer of Christians, and he probably still is. They believe not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him. Good old Barnabas. His name means the encourager. The encourager would come alongside old Saul of Tarsus. He'd had to run from Damascus, and now he gets to Jerusalem, and they don't want him there, and they didn't want him in Damascus. And he's a man without a home. He needs a friend, and Barnabas comes alongside and becomes his friend. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Barnabas tells Saul's story to that church in Jerusalem. Tells how Jesus struck him down in the way and caused him to be something new now, something different. He wasn't the same. He's not now the same Saul that you used to know. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. He's been preaching, man. He's been preaching with power. God has strengthened him directly. He's confounded the Jews at Damascus. Do you think about this, Barnabas says. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, how Saul had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You ought to hear him preach. Give him a chance to preach, and you'll know. Watch him a minute, and you'll see he's different. He's not slipping in here and trying to destroy you. He's slipping in here and wanting to be part of you, and it's real, says Barnabas. Oh, from that point on, not from that point on forever, but from that point on for a while, he and Barnabas would be the closest of friends. That would part. It's a shame when friends part. That would part. But for a while, this encourager would come alongside and be that encourager of Paul for many days to come. So Barnabas comes and he tells them straight of it there in Jerusalem. And it says in the next verse, and he was with them. Barnabas says he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Paul was with them coming in. They accept him now. And Paul's with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas and the church at Jerusalem, they're all one and together. Paul was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Here's something we see about the fellow from this point on. Wherever he goes and preaches, somebody's trying to kill him. He had been the killer and now he's the hunted. He had hunted them down, and now they're looking for him. They went about to kill him, to slay him there at Jerusalem. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. He had had to escape Damascus by being let down over the wall in the dark of the night in a basket. Now the Jews at Jerusalem are trying to kill him, and so they have to slip him out there and send him to Caesarea to escape Jerusalem. Paul would be a man who would be on the run for the rest of his life. He would be chased, but he wouldn't be stopped. On to Antioch, the Antioch in Syria. You see, there's two Antiochs in the New Testament, so you have to kind of keep this straight. This is the Antioch in Syria, where there was a church. Acts 11:22. Paul has escaped from Jerusalem. He's headed to Tarsus, and there he is. Let's pick up something that happens in Antioch in chapter 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now this is a different saying. The church at Jerusalem hears there's good things happening in Antioch, so they send Barnabas. Not Paul and Barnabas, just Barnabas is sent to Antioch to preach to that church there. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Barnabas went and he preached, and much people were added. And Barnabas, I guess, he was kind of the big shot there. If he wanted to have that kind of attitude, he could have been full of pride. Said, look what I'm doing. Look at me. The church at Jerusalem picked me and sent me. Boy, look at me. And I've got here, and look at me. Boy, everybody's believing, and everybody's coming, and everybody's following. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. A man full of the Holy Ghost is not full of himself. And Barnabas wasn't full of himself. Much people were added to the Lord, but Barnabas, in his own mind, he knew that much more people could be added if he'd go get somebody else besides himself, if he wouldn't take all his glory to himself. So then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. You remember we left Saul at Tarsus. Barnabas now leads Antioch in all this revival and all this good preaching and all these people being converted and all these people being added to the Lord. Barnabas takes a little break here and he says, I'll be right back, boys. I'll be right back talking to Antioch. He said, I've got to go find somebody. Barnabas departed to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he goes to Tarsus. I don't know what Saul had been doing up there in Tarsus. I bet he'd been preaching a little Jesus up there, but we don't have that account. Barnabas goes and he finds Saul at Tarsus. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Barnabas and Paul come together at Antioch. Paul brought to Antioch by Barnabas. You see, we see something in Barnabas that begins right here, and we'll see it on through as he and Paul stick it out together. They become a twosome, but Barnabas is willing to play second fiddle. Barnabas could have been the big shot, but he knew somebody that was bigger than him, that was better than him, that could preach better than him. Barnabas, not concerned with self, but with the cause of Christ, he goes and finds the good preacher. Barnabas was a good preacher. He goes and finds the best preacher, the one who had been trained directly by Jesus Christ, the one who could explain the gospel better than any other man. And Barnabas says, I can tell it, but I can't tell it like this fellow. I can preach it, but not like Paul. And Barnabas, willing to play second fiddle, willing to be the wind beneath the wings, the support of the preacher Paul, he goes and gets Paul, and Barnabas begins to take a back seat here. We'll find as we go on through the first missionary journey where Paul goes that it first talks about Barnabas and Paul, and then it begins to talk about Paul and Barnabas, and then it begins to talk about Paul and company. Where Barnabas starts out, number one, he's kind of the leader, but before it's over, he becomes the follower. He's the main man at the start, but he becomes the supporter of the main man before it's over. Now, there'd be a division that would come between them, and we've referred to that already, and we'll try to get to that next time. But Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was a true man of God. Barnabas was willing to decrease while the cause of Jesus increased. Like John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease. If the cause of Christ can be better served by supporting somebody else, let that be what motivates us is the cause of Christ and not our own mission, our own agenda, our own pride, the love of self. Let us love Christ, let us love others. Let us serve Christ by serving others. Let us learn from Barnabas. So Barnabas and Paul would become a twosome together, and we'll pick that up and we'll try to get into their first missionary journey next time. And we're taking a little extra time talking about Paul's history, but hopefully there's some good things in this. We can learn lessons in how to be Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch, and they saw the pattern of two Christians there, one willing to support the other, and both of them willing to preach Christ and putting Christ first, and they would become Christ-like as they watched these two Christ-like men preach Christ to them. God bless us that we might be called Christians. And not just called Christians, but that we might be Christians. And God bless you, and I hope you'll join us next time.